not loving, questioning, possibly ashamed of? What do we end up doing so that we can feel loved? What do we compromise when we don't want to? These are sort of the things to start questioning about when we're looking at shadow side. So stay tuned for a very full hour of conversation and philosophical inquiry. And if you have something to add to the conversation, feel free to give us a call, 895-1114. We'll get you on the air. If you want to message us on the Facebook page, we can also try to get you on through there. If you're, you know, messaging us through the page, we'll do our best to check it and get your comments here to the radio show. But first, we're going to get this started with some music by Florence and the Machine. Would you like to intro the song?
Oh, sure. This is a song called Shake It Off, and I was just thinking about all the little bits of our shadow that we have a hard time carrying around, and Florence gives us some good advice on that. So let's listen to what she has to say.
Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive your darkest moments. I can see no way, I can see no way. And all of the ghouls come out to play. And every demon wants his pound of flesh. But I like to keep some things to myself. I like to keep my
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the in partnership with Chico Creek Nature Center, the Information Education Center for Bidwell Park. The Chico Creek Nature Center is proud to share the wonder of Bidwell Park, where there is always more to explore. Details about day camps, field trips, and more at bidwellpark.org. All right. Welcome back to Love in the 21st Century. I am your host, Tamara, joined by co-host Kat and Desiree. We are going to be talking about love, self-love, and the shadow side. So to give you, our audience, a bit more of an idea of what we're talking about, I looked up some information earlier about the birth of the shadow self. And so what exactly is the shadow self and what is the other self that we might be referring to? So when we're talking about shadow self, there's the self that we want to be seen as in psychology is called persona. And so the persona is the self that we wish to be seen as in the world. So the things that we might hide from the typical, from our typical conversations or repressed ideas, instincts, impulses, weaknesses, desires, those sorts of things are what can be constituted as our shadow self. So we're going to dive deeper into the conversation and see about different ways that maybe we here in this room view the shadow self. So I think we're going to start there. So if Kat, would you mind that we were kind of brainstorming for this show earlier. So when we first started talking about shadow self, what came to mind?
You mean like personally or just in general?
Just, yeah, personally or in general.
Yeah, I think I also appreciate the idea, like obviously the shadow being things that we kind of reject about ourselves, like things that we might be in denial about ourselves. But then there's also the idea of the shadow just being anything that's unconscious. So exploring also the idea of the shadow as aspects of ourself that we that might be actually really favorable that we aren't able to bring in and accept within ourselves. So pretty much anything I think that we're averted to, I think is a clue that there's a shadow lurking.
Yeah, I remember in our conversation earlier that I was really inspired by that idea of the other side, of the positive traits that we have that can also be in the shadow because we are so used to or would rather not look at the things that we're also proud of.
Sure. I think darkness in general is something recently I was at dance church and we were talking about in our closing circle, like someone was talking about blackness and the raven and just darkness in general and how I think we have been sort of trained in our culture to be afraid of the dark. And so I appreciate looking at the positive sides of the shadow and recognizing that like that is also the place of creativity. That's also like a birthplace of beauty in a lot of ways. So that's a good place to explore and it's a good way to also looking at the, specifically with like Jung's aspect of the subconscious and of the shadow that that's I was reading about this like that's where the individuation journey begins because you can start to recognize parts of yourself through shadow work and that sort of helps develop the persona and like erase these veils to our true nature.
Mm-hmm. Well said. So Desiree, do you have something you want to add?
Yeah, I would like to just say that first of all, I think that I was thinking about what the shadow self was for me today and it starts I think by anything that casts a light also casts a shadow. And so if you think about it from that aspect, like you can be unaware completely of your shadow self if it's behind you and you're not paying attention to it. You can be subconscious. Or you can also, like she was saying, be something that's completely good in there because you, when you kind of reject something about yourself, you start to be afraid of your successes too and you kind of dim your own light with dimming your shadow. So I think that you can learn a lot from, I think when you look at others and you see them as a mirror, you can start to learn your shadow self.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So Jonah just joined us. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this introduction of just, we're just talking about our, you know, perspective on the shadow side.
Yeah. First off, I guess what's coming to me now is just the aspect of stepping into discomfort. Like when I think of the shadow side, I think of like shame work or any kind of work where we're looking at ourselves in a way that we don't usually, and oftentimes that includes some level of discomfort, and which is also the reason why I think that we have part of the reason we have a shadow side or our shadow side develops as we grow is is that avoidance of discomfort. And I've done some, I was just recently in a training program where we were talking a lot about shame, and I liked how it was talked about in this element, in this way of like growing up, how we have these experiences, and that this is kind of one popular definition of shame that I hadn't heard so much before, but it's actually when something gets in the way of something that we want, like something pleasurable or enjoyable, like a little kid being excited to see their friends or something, and then something happens, like another kid says something kind of insulting to that kid, and then they think like, oh, I'm not supposed to be excited or happy to see my friends. And then it's actually that kind of like shutting down of that part of you that was actually really joyful and happy. And so that's what I see as being the kind of the value of diving into this work, is that kind of getting re-touched, reconnected to that part of yourself that is, wants to just be joyful and happy and innocent.
And maybe removing that barrier that was created by that shaming experience, is what you're referring to?
Yeah, totally. Like when you do shame work or shadow work, that's kind of how I'm thinking of it now, is like that you generally, it helps a lot to get help from other people to look at that and to remove that barrier, to remove that what's getting in the way or causing that shadow to exist in you, and to reclaim that joy that you originally wanted. Mm-hmm. Or that sense of entitlement, or not entitlement, but like that sense of like deserving of joy and connection and love and all of that, or empowerment.
Absolutely. And for myself, thinking about the shadow side and thinking about the show and the reason to be bringing this to the airwaves is because I feel like it's so important to take a look at what society doesn't focus on very much, which is the other aspects of our being, the sides that we aren't personifying, the sides that we aren't like going to the party and telling everybody about, because maybe they're the things that people might judge about us. They're the things that would maybe keep people away. Maybe they're the things that we hide because we feel like it'll be easier to love us, and maybe people want to be around us more because we're more agreeable. And talking about self-love and talking about the shadow side, it's about bringing that whole, your whole being into that light, to love it and say like, it's okay, these things can be assets, or they could be also just things that we are neglecting to pay attention to that need some attention, so that they can be loved, and so that we can just be okay with ourselves and accept ourselves. So I was hoping that maybe we all would feel okay with maybe sharing just a story that comes to mind when we talk about shadow side. Predominantly because I feel like story and personal experience is what changes people the most. When people can identify with the experiences that others have and know, oh yeah, like we're all human too, then it crosses some sort of barrier that we create in our normal everyday life. So do we all feel up to that?
Yeah.
Okay, Desiree's up for it. Yeah, okay. Okay, you want to jump in?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, so the first thing that comes to mind is I had a pretty hard, I would say hard childhood. It's a matter of perspective, of course, but I grew up feeling very neglected by my biological father. And so I tried unknowingly very hard to get attention from people. And I grew up with, I view my shadow side as trying too hard to get attention instead of just coming with my own self, just being myself and genuinely feeling like I deserved love and I deserved attention. So I just came from this place of sad, like, oh no. And it ended up coming out in a way that I would give people a lot of attention and energy, that some of which weren't reciprocated, and then it made me more sad. And then I would also give my attention to the wrong people who were, you know, not very nice to me and using me in some cases. And I also realized that people who were boisterous and kind of known as being the center of attention kind of bugged me. And I was like, why is that? You know, when I started to do this work around my shadow and shame work, I realized that I wanted to be the center of attention. You know, I wanted that valued space where I felt like people were doting on me, because I felt like I hadn't gotten that a lot from my dad. And so when I began to look at that, I began to say, you know, it's okay that he wasn't there. Like, now I can just know that I'm good enough as being me, and like sitting with that and feeling, allowing myself to feel the feelings I had, and then accepting and embracing them, and then moving on and being whole and feeling lovable.
That was such a great story, because it exemplified so, like, almost like the entire psychological construct that's going on when you're learning about shadow side. So after we get through the stories, I want to talk more about just like the different parts in that story, or in the stories that we're going to tell that come out, which is talking about like projection of other people and judging other people's behaviors that kind of tie into shadow work as well. But I want to get through some of our stories first. Do either of you feel up to it?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting that we're doing this show today. I'm into astrology, and I Mercury just went direct, and I feel like Mercury retrograde times are a really great time for self-reflection, and we kind of have to like move a little bit slower, and things are sort of harder to get through, and it does force a certain level of introspection. And I think, yeah, shadow work is something that I've been incorporating into my personal practice, and in general with like fear, because I feel like fear and pain and like all those things are lurking there in the shadow. But one thing, and again, like back to this whole like golden shadow thing, something I've been recognizing is my relationship and sort of judgment of other women, and my own view, like as a feminist, and like on my journey, I think I've gone, like I had to reject the parts of myself that I feel like were maybe more vain or beautiful. Like I had to buzz my hair just to see what it was like to not have the hair. And like, I didn't shave my legs for a while because I wanted to know what that was like, you know, and like these things that I was like afraid of with like body image and things. Like I felt like I've gone on this journey in the past few years, and I've been recognizing like for example, my sister is just beautiful woman, and she was involved with burlesque for a while, and I remember being so judgmental about it in some ways, because my sister is this beautiful reflection for me. Like she's this like shadow at like twin. We're Irish twins. We're 13 months apart, so I feel like we're so close in age, and like she's this mirror, and I'll notice that the things that I just get all, you know, bent out of shape with her are me. And so just like women, and like feeling like women have been, you know, exploited for their beauty, and like that there's just been a lot of using women for their bodies, and that in that way that I've become almost afraid of it. But then in that way, like I've rejected all the good stuff too, and just been noticing how fearful I've been of like stepping into that light as a woman, and like being beautiful and being accepted as that. And recently I was really contemplating joining this women's gathering that's in June. And that was like the major thing for me. It was like, God, but they're all such babes, you know, like looking at these babes and being like, I just don't know if I can handle it, all the babes. And then I was like, what is my deal? Like, am I a babe? Can I just like own the babe in myself? So I just like, I really had to work through it, you know? And I recognized that like, that was my shadow. Like I was afraid of this beautiful and sexual and all of it, like these, you know, like to come into power of like a strong, beautiful woman and own it, you know? And so I signed up for that gathering, you know? I was like, I'm afraid of it and I'm going to do it, you know? Cause I think that's a good practice with shadow work. I've noticed like that's the trigger, like we're talking about, you know, the shame, and like we have these feelings of aversion in some way, like that's where it is, and like that's a place to explore. So that's been one that I've been working with lately,
yeah, my babe self.
Yeah, babe self.
Jonah, do you want to jump in?
Sure. Yeah, I love how both of you guys brought in the element of it being, of judging, of people that you judge may be the key to your shadow self. And I kind of popped in here last minute. I didn't have any plan on what I would say on this topic, so I'm trying to think of something. But what's coming to mind right now is just my showing an interest in a woman that I'm interested in. That's something that I can relate to the judgment thing. I think I grew up often having the idea that men who showed interest in women were chauvinistic or various negative terms. And I always really wanted to have positive relations with women. So I never wanted to be that guy that was looked at as someone threatening or anything negative or full of myself. And so for me, part of my shadow work was, I guess you could call it that now, was and also kind of getting back to the joy, was owning the part of me that did have desires and interests in specific people, and actually being brave enough to let them know it. And for me, it involved figuring out ways to do it that would would also be still like holding on to that sense of wanting to be nice, like wanting to show it in a way where it didn't mean that was all I wanted. Or usually generally it was with, when I'm interested in a woman like who I'm with right now, who I'm totally in love with, I had a genuine interest in being her friend as well, and so we started off that way. But I didn't hold back. Like, earlier in my life, I would have held back, and I wouldn't have even let her know that I was interested. And in this relationship, I didn't do that at all. I let her know right from the start, and that made a huge difference. And that required me to do some shame work to get there.
Absolutely. So just listening to all of your guys' stories, definitely, like, you know, I feel like my own story's coming out in the process, and finding, you know, which one I'm going to share. Because at first I was thinking, like, you know, femininity, like, just like, I was raised with two brothers and predominantly by my dad. My mom worked all the time. So to be female, like, I didn't even really know how to identify as being female. You know, I knew I was female, but I, like, my dad made sure to let me know that when I was 9, trying to run around without my shirt on, like, with my brothers, that it wasn't okay to be doing anymore because I was now a young lady. So, you know, it was crashing into my world. And, but still out throughout high school was definitely more like androgynous and, you know, masculine, that I've had to, like, embrace and consciously choose to become more feminine, like, wear dresses and put on makeup and not judge women that like just enjoy being beautiful. And I, and finding that in myself, that I look at that and go, well, like, almost like as an insult, I would take it when somebody would be like, you're beautiful, be like, and that's all you have to say? Like yeah. What about all the other amazing things I can do? Like, mm-hmm. And so really, like, learning to be like, thank you. And not just being thankful, but, like, really believing it and taking it as a compliment and seeing it as something, you know, as an asset. So that was one of the things that came up. And right before you were starting to share, Jonah, was in relationship, just, like, really having to look at my own expectations around relationships, my own judgments of how I'm supposed to behave, of how my partner's supposed to behave, what's socially acceptable, and just watching myself, like, my internal talk of judging and questioning others' choices, and but also, like, wondering, you know, how does that apply to me, and if I'm okay with certain things, and then wanting to, like, kind of like tuck everything back in the closet so I don't have to think about it anymore and, like, look at it, because it's an uncomfortable place to be. And how do you start to have those conversations with you know, with yourself and with other people that are in your life. And the last one that that came to mind for me that I feel like is probably one that has been a pretty constant since I was, you know, in high school, is body image. Is definitely the judgment on myself about body image and, like, even caring about the way that my body looks, and then the judgment on others about how they're, like, how focused they can become on the way that they look, and just really trying to figure out a way to be okay with, you know, however I show up in the world, and knowing that shadow side of me is always there, like, okay, I'm confident and comfortable, but it's, like, always kind of, like, on this teetering of society's image of, oh, like, do I need to be more of a certain way? Do I need to be, like, pay more attention to the way that I look? And, yeah, I think that in the last, you know, 5 years more so, I've become more comfortable with my body image, but it's definitely, yeah, it's definitely something that's there to look at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not figuratively either, literally.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, right. So just curious if any of you guys have something you want to jump in with here right now. Otherwise, I'm going to go to a short break, and we'll get into dissecting those stories a little bit. All right. So if you're just tuning in, this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. The opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And we're just speculating here. We are not diagnosing by any means.
People like trains. Whether taking a long trip or making the daily commute, riding the rails without the hassles of airports and the tensions of driving can be the most sensible and pleasurable way to get from here to there. Americans have been doing just that for 188 of the USA's 226 years. On horse-pull rail carriages in the 1830s, then going west on the steam-shrouded iron horse of the 1870s. Next, riding the Zephyr and other sleek streamliners of the 1930s. And today, taking the electric high-speed Acelas running on some of Amtrak's routes. More than just another mode of transportation, trains have represented our people's can-do spirit and our yearning to go beyond where we are. And though the 19th century push to span the nation with rails came with huge human consequences, decimating native tribes and virtually enslaving many immigrant workers, the resulting system tied the country together and unified the economy. A century later, however, our national rail passenger system is a wreck. Highway builders, auto lobbyists, and airline monopolists have hijacked America's transportation policy. As a result, our mobility future has been clogged with their self-interest, blocking the rail travel alternative. It's shameful how our corporate and governmental masters of transportation have sidetracked what, not so long ago, was a world-leading cross-country train system and reduced it to an underfunded hodgepodge that's an insult to the traveling public and wholly inadequate for a nation with pretensions of greatness. This is Jim Hightower saying, despite attempts to kill the notion of a national rail passenger system, trains are only getting more popular. The U.S. High-Speed Rail Association has a map of what a national rail system could look like. Check it out at www.ushsr.com/USHSR map.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
All right, welcome back. I am Tamara, joined by Kat, Desiree, and Jonah, talking about self-love and the shadow side. So we were just sharing some stories about our own personal experience with the shadow side, and I think we are all doing a really good job of exemplifying sort of the different ways to go about the shadow side. So I'm wondering if, Kat, if you might kind of feel obliged to kind of maybe dissect that a little bit, talking about self-exploration and judgment and how one gets to knowing their shadow side a bit more.
Well, yeah, I think it's like we've been talking about, like, what are the signs, you know, like, where are the places that we get stuck? And I think yeah, those are just times to kind of sit and meditate, like think back about our stories. And like I've dissected, like I had this huge fear about, I feel like cooking, for example, like I feel like if I cooked for people, it wasn't going to be good enough, or that I don't know, I had this weird fear about like exposing my culinary skills to other humans, which is crazy, you know, because we all eat. But then I started thinking about this, and I remember this time when I was like, I don't know, maybe 12 years old, 11 or 12, and I had made myself macaroni and cheese, but like from scratch, you know, I got the noodles out, like I didn't just use the box. This was like a big deal for me at the time, and I like used the cheese, probably didn't use enough salt, whatever. I was really proud of what I did, and then I wanted my mom to taste it. And looking back on it now, reflecting on it now, I'm remembering, like, I think she might have, you know, been on the phone or working, or like, I think, you know, I caught her at a bad time, but her, because my mom is so supportive, but at the time, she tried this, and she was like, you know, it's bland, and then like sent me away. And I was just like, here I'd like done this big thing, and I was like, I think that's the moment. I think that was the moment that I became fearful of sharing food that I'd made. And so I like went back in there and decided to like forgive my mother in that, you know, obviously in that moment. And just, yeah, thinking about forgiveness, I was talking with my partner today about this, and just about the shadow self and the exploration of like where it is and like what do we do in those moments. And like, yeah, we find the seed and we forgive ourselves and we forgive the others that are involved. And I mean, ultimately, I think, you know, we're all mirrors for each other. So each person is reflecting an aspect of ourself back to us. And like, I think they're there to help trigger. So like any recurring, so okay, that happened when I was 12, but then maybe here I am fearful again, you know, at 23, 24, 25, whatever, whenever it was these times that I was feeling, I feel like I'm over it now. I love feeding people. But when I was encountering these, I think they were just triggers to bring up that original fear. And I mean, sometimes I was even thinking today, like this could be stuff in the womb or things like talk about, you know, this, if the shadows are unconscious, like some of it's, you know, things that happened before we were even aware that they happened. But then we keep getting those echoes until we finally get it. So I feel like it's just it's a good time to pause. And like Tamara, we were talking before, just I was referring to like yoga, or when you're in a position where there's pain. And that's a good time to just pause and bring attention to that place and bring breath. And I have a teacher once that reminded me to be mindful of my face in those moments. Like, is your face making a scrunch? You know, like, are you looking, you know, is your face all like angry and like upset? Because if we can relax your face, and then your body will follow. And so when we're encountering, you know, people or situations or whatever that that bring us this discordant energy, I think it's a good time to pause, reflect, breathe. And then, sure, those are things to, if we keep getting, if we notice these themes, then those are things that, you know, that's kind of our homework. Like, wow, I feel like for myself with like these women, like, wow, this is a thing. I'm recognizing that this is a thing. It's not just like today. It's like, I've got a thing with like, hot chicks. Like, what's this? I'm terrible. But like, this is something to explore. And so it's like, what is that? You know, and were there times that maybe I exploited myself, and like that I have to go back and forgive myself for different, and it's not going to always be instant. It might be something from, you know, people believe like in past lives and things like that. But even in our own life, there's so many little lifetimes in one lifetime. And mm-hmm. So it's like, wow, there's chapters that I've completely hidden away. And so I think the shadow is where those things are coming, and they're peeking out, and they want to be seen. So to just take a moment and see them and accept them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I liked what you said about finding the seed of where something's coming from. So whether that's like a fear or a hesitation or a judgment, but going back to, and you know, if you take enough time, you take the pause to check out where that's coming from. And definitely there has to be a dedication to self-exploration, of really wanting to know yourself better, because without really having a true desire to know yourself better, there's not really another way to kind of working with your shadow side, because maybe your shadow side is just trying to teach you something about yourself. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. Do you want to add something, Desiree?
Not about that necessarily, but I could I add something about what you were talking about body image?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So as a child, I developed a really strong sense of bad body image, and I would shame myself like really badly, and I ended up developing an eating disorder in high school, and I was definitely triggered by going to school around these girls that were extremely skinny, and you know, I viewed them as pretty and more beautiful than me, and they were cheerleaders and all these things. And so I can relate to both of you, because I could be like, oh, why don't I look like that? And I developed this like shame of myself, and so I would basically try and hide my body and like try and be kind of tomboyish, so nobody would even pay attention to me. And like, but then I developed this like uncomfortable sense of being around girls that I viewed as beautiful or skinny, and I would do things to lose weight that weren't healthy. And in the last few years, I began to go, you know, I'm just going to try and do the best I can with the body I have, and took a totally different approach with taking care of myself. And that's where I think that a big part of self-love is being healthy and nurturing and nourishing yourself in the best way you can, you know, with the right foods, organic foods and supplements and things like that. And so when I got to the root of the shadow side of that aspect of myself, I've been so much happier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And something that you were sharing, Desiree, was reminding me of just the idea of talking about things that we might feel ashamed about. Mm-hmm. And even as I say that, I think about how challenging it is to talk about things we're ashamed of.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of the reason we avoid having those conversations. But just if finding one person that you feel like you can like say like, hey, I have these really weird feelings about this, or, you know, or this is like my internal dialogue going on, and I don't really need you to like tell me if I'm right or wrong. I just need to like say it. And I think more often than not, we find people are experiencing the same things. I was having a conversation with my friend the other day in my bedroom. We were like doing card readings and whatnot, and card readings, like tarot cards for anybody that's curious. And I was talking about how sometimes I have this feeling that people find me as disingenuous. Like, I don't come off as authentic as maybe some people, as I would like to. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. As my persona would like to be seen. And I wonder that because I know that oftentimes when, like, in some of my friendships, when people are at my house and they're kind of being negative or they're talking about things that I don't want to talk about, I'm really quick to be like, that's a really negative perspective, or don't talk about people like that, or don't, you know, I'm like always trying to be on the upswing, you could say. And so I felt like I was confiding in my friend. You know, I feel like it's not like I don't have those thoughts. It's not like I'm not like, oh, wow, look at that person. Like, what are they talking about? You know, like, I feel like those thoughts are there. It's the question of whether or not those are useful thoughts, and mm-hmm. whether or not they're going to be productive in the relationship that I'm trying to grow with somebody, you know, with anybody, with all people in this world. And so I felt like I needed to really like disclose myself to her, to be like, I just want you to know that I'm human too. It's not like I don't have these thoughts or these feelings, or like, you know, they just there, they just mm-hmm. pop in. We don't have to be ashamed of them, or, you know, or judge them as bad. It's just what we do with the information once we mm-hmm. have it. And so I just thought it was really funny because, like, she just, like, laughed at me. And she's like, of course, you know, like, no, I don't think that you're, like, dishonest. And I was like, okay, just want you to know. Like, I'm not, like, trying to be, like, holier than thou or anything. So interesting, you know, what we can get when we start to share with people our own personal experience of life. So I want to know if maybe we can talk a little bit more about the golden shadow that you've been talking a bit about. Kat, you brought it up at the beginning, and maybe we can illuminate that.
Yeah, you know, I think it sort of became apparent to me in a recent experience. I was reflecting on that today, where, because I feel like it's pretty easy to, like, I'll get angry at someone, and or something will happen, and I'm really in a dither, and like, oh yeah, that's my thing. Like, that's that. I can accept that projection. But then I recently was just admiring this young woman and being like, gosh, she's just beautiful. And just full of light, and I recognized that, well, yeah, like in Lakesh, like she's, you know, there's another me. And I had a harder time digesting that for some reason. And that really, I don't know, that experience, like, so here I am in this whole thing with, like, my view of the feminine and all of it. It's like, it's been a big subject for me lately. But I think, yeah, it's, again, just places where we're averted. And I think the shadow and, like, bringing in the shadow is just about bringing in our whole selves, like the yin and the yang. You know, the yin is this dark, the dark realm where our unconscious is. And so just looking for those parts. And like, I think I heard on the show the other day when you guys were talking with Earth Ashanti and, like, the, you know, affirmations and things like that. And, like, you know, working with reminding ourselves of, like, the positive. But yeah, it really came through very clearly with this young woman and being like, okay, she's me too, and thinking about just the unconscious in general and like how we view our world and how we view the shadow. Is that it, I like thinking of Jung and the dream, like dream work, and so these people can be sort of archetypal energies, and if we can view them as like symbolic energy, I think somehow it's easier, rather than taking it all so personally, we can look at like this person or this event is coming to me to teach me something about myself. So when I bring in the shadow, I bring in all parts of self.
I have to, like, smile to myself when you say not to take it personally and just, like, see the symbolism in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I've, like, had, you know, we'll call them heavy debates with people where they'll be saying something that I did, and I'll be like, and then they'll use that, like, you know, one of the four agreements, don't take anything personally. And I'll be like, what? Don't take it. It's hard to not take something personally that you're saying personally about me. That's like my cliche saying. It's like,
yeah.
So once I get beyond that moment, though, it's like the heat of the frustration. It's easier to see the objective and to see the value of what an experience is bringing to us. But when you said that, that's what made me chuckle a little bit.
Or really, what makes me chuckle in a way is that, like, I think actually the message is to take it all personally and recognize in a way that, like, everyone is a mirror of self. Right. And so the shadow is like, okay, this is a mirror. Should I mean, like, that weird, like, backsit that I can't see and it's, like, really gross. And, you know, but thanks for that mirror. You know, it's, like, this uncomfortable, like, but I can't see it. And so here you are showing it to me. And, like, sorry, that was a really gross. I'm sorry.
It was a great example. I think we could all conjure that image up.
Let's work with that, you know, because there's all parts of ourselves that we're unaware of. And right. So, yeah, in a way, take it personally. And, you know, like, in that realm of, like, and in that sense, take responsibility for it. Right. And again, like, the dream reality of, like, okay, yeah, here's this like, when I break down my dreams, I don't get upset that, like, you might have come to me in my dream and done something really crazy, and I'm not going to see you in waking life and be like, oh, Tamara, you're totally mean to me last night in my dream. You know, I recognize that was a symbolic thing. Like, what is my, you know, a question? What is my subconscious trying to reveal, or what is it, you know, sort of bringing together? And so I think to incorporate that into our waking lives as well makes it easier.
Absolutely.
It kind of reminds me of soul contracts a little bit, like that, where I've read this book about a hypnotherapist who did a transcript of patients in between they were going under past life regression. Mm-hmm. And speaking about people that they know, well, they, when they were hypnotized, spoke about this place they went to during their lives and made soul contracts with people, such as who they would marry, who their parents are, things like that. And it sort of reminds me of that we're always meant to call into our life the people that are there to learn a lesson, good or bad, and to, like, transcend ourselves from them.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking of, like, what you were talking about earlier, Kat, in the symbolism of, like, the night dreaming versus, like, the daytime, and how we bring that symbolism through in our dreams, and we say, like, that this is symbolic in this way, but, like, how do we apply that to our daily living? And I found that so interesting, of, like, looking at encounters in our day in that, mm-hmm, same way. I think it brings a new light to our day.
Well, I think it's just a part of a practice. Like, you're talking about shadow work, it has to be a part of one's practice of self-discovery, you know? And I think I also work with tarot cards, and I think that's helped me too in thinking about symbolism and just taking in the world as like a symbolic, you know, message board in a way, or, you know, dream reality or movie or whatever. And yeah, it's a practice, but I think it's one that, I mean, I think a lot of teachers brought in, so it's, I think it's validated, you know? I think we're not the only ones here thinking about this.
No, definitely not the only ones. So what do we end up doing to feel loved, and how does that relate to shadow work? Does anybody want to jump on that question? What do we end up doing to feel loved? And how does that involve shadow work?
I think that if we're not paying attention to our shadow self, or before we have like done that work, I think that we can get involved in relationships and friendships that aren't necessarily serving our highest self. And we can kind of change our personality and adapt to be what other people, we think other people want us to be, to feel more like in, you know, in line with what we think they want. And then I think, you know, we can change ourselves to date a guy that we think, you know, is cute or cool. And we can try and get friendships that to be in the cool club. And I think unless we look at our shadow self, we kind of change ourselves to fit in and feel loved.
Right. Like we feel like we need to do something or be a certain person because the people that we're attracted to are possibly different than who we are. Mm-hmm. And so we think, oh, I need to do something different so that they'll be more attracted to me, instead of maybe looking at why we feel that way. Mm-hmm. Looking back at ourselves and saying, well, why do I feel like I need to change, mm-hmm, in order for somebody to love me more? Mm-hmm. I think that I know that I can definitely identify with that. I feel like that's definitely like explains, you know, multiple relationships that I was in about being this certain person for this relationship, and then realizing at a certain point, like, wait, I can't actually be this person all the time, mm-hmm, because this isn't who I am.
Right.
And then like going on this like really like strong mission of like in the next few relationships of being like, this is who I am, like, take it or leave it. And being really extreme on the other side.
Yeah.
And then that also not helping in relationships, but that's a whole nother issue.
It makes me think about this quote I read today by Carl Jung, and it was that everyone carries a shadow, and the less is embodied in the individual's conscious life, the blacker and denser it is. So I think it's interesting. It's like, it sort of takes hold, like if I'm trying to be something that I'm not, or I'm not aware of it, but then again, you're like, this is who I am. It's like, okay, now you're really embodying your shadow. So it's like finding that balance of like, yeah, this is it. But I think like as far as like self-love and healing, to encounter those parts of ourselves, and we're constantly evolving and constantly renewing. And so to face that part of ourselves, and I think a lot of it is acceptance and forgiveness. And when we see that in other people, just trusting that they are messengers from our subconscious, like coming in from the depths of our own soul to reveal to us a part of ourselves. And so if we can really see that and embody it and say, okay, like I accept this, and this is me. And then like that tension is erased, I think. And we find ourselves at ease.
I liked your story, how you went from one extreme to the other, and when it comes to self love, it's like or knowing ourselves, it seems like it's that constant discovery, like who is our real self, and we're always learning that, and I can see how like when we realize that we've been on maybe on one extreme, diving into the other one full force can almost be a self-discovery, like, okay, so who am I now if I'm totally embrace this part of myself that I've been denying for a while? But then ultimately, I think I'm just finding it valuable right now to just see it as like we're constantly discovering who we are. And that self-love is like opening up to the question almost. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's coming to me, I think, is part of my practice of loving myself, and also part of shadow work, is to continually be trying to be in touch with my own desires. Like, what is it that I'm feeling these natural impulses to have or to do or to accomplish? And then which of those things am I saying that's not okay? Like, when is it not okay for me to want this certain thing? An example of that might be like money. Like, I'm working on that right now. I've had a lot of, I really have always admired simple living, and like Buddhist monks and people who live very simply. And most of my life I have, and I still am right now, but I'm also in this place where I have kids, and I'm like, well, shoot, I need to like have some money here. And so I'm really like working on this part of myself and seeing like, well, there are some things about having money that are kind of desirable. So I'm learning how to get in touch with those, with the desire.
Absolutely. So many different aspects and directions to take this shadow work, because shadow work is just so much just all the different sides that we don't necessarily put too much awareness on, too much energy, too much light on those situations. And I definitely know that there is quite a bit of changing that we do throughout life in that evolutionary process. So I really appreciated, Jenna, what you said about just getting to know ourselves. You know, we're in this constant process of self-discovery with ourselves. And once we can really get to a place that we view our life in that way, how much more harmonious our experiences would become, because we'd be less judgmental of other people, because we would know that they're just discovering themselves too, and we'd be less judgmental of ourselves about doing the right thing, because we're just in a process of discovery as well. I wanted to talk a little bit about compromise and the shadow self. And I feel like that compromise exemplifies shadow work when we are in the moment. I feel like it's something that we can like tangibly experience. It's like when we're in a conversation with somebody and we feel ourselves change our mind, just like right in the instant, because we know that the other person wants us to do something different, and how that relates to shadow work. So I'm wondering if any of you all feel up to talking a little bit about that.
Do you mean like making a compromise with someone else when do they know about their shadow side? Is that like
right? Well, like our own compromise. So like like for instance, if you're asking me to go somewhere,
okay,
and I already know all the things that I need to do,
uh-huh,
and I instead of saying, oh no, I have all these things that I need to do, I say I can do it, and I change in that instant, like almost like it was a reflex, mm-hmm, rather than a thought process. And like how that relates to our own shadow work. Why are we doing that? Why are we compromising ourselves for other people?
Oh, I can totally talk about this.
Okay, great.
So I feel that sometimes we feel bad about saying no. Mm-hmm. We really, in our society, we kind of get to this point where we do for others and do for others and do for others, and we kind of forget to take care of ourselves and slow down and really think, oh, do I have time to do this and to take care of myself really whole? And, you know, we end up taking on too much. I feel like we're just so busy and we feel almost bad. Well, we do feel, I know I feel bad if I can help someone, I try to, but sometimes I just take on way too much and I compromise my, again, I think it goes back to compromising sometimes what you want and really addressing what you want and need is, mm-hmm, really the key to that.
I think it's really great what you just said, because I feel like it pulls together the things that we were talking about in the golden shadow and yourself. Yourself is in your shadow side. When you compromise and you say, I don't, like, I'm going to give in to this. I'm going to give in to you because I'm putting you as more important than my needs. All of a sudden, your whole being just went into the shadow. Like, you're not valuing yourself and what your own needs are, because for somewhere down the road, we were taught, we were told, you know,
shown that it's better to put other people's needs before our own. And though I believe that in certain cases, it's not always the truth in all cases. So it's always really good to question where our motives are. And it's okay to change your mind. And it's okay to go back and say, oh, you know, I said that I wanted to do that, but I actually thought about it and realized that I was compromising because I thought that's what you wanted. And generally, more often than not, the other person doesn't really care. Or maybe if they did, it opens a whole host of other things you get to talk about.
Well, and I think, too, like the shadow is where a lot of our self-esteem issues lie. And so when we're making those compromises, it usually comes from a place of low self-esteem, of like, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be loved. I'm afraid that they won't accept me. And again, that reflection of self, of like, we can accept others and accept ourselves and accept that, sometimes that's saying no. And, really defining our boundaries, and that's definitely a part of self-love.
Gotta love yourself, all yourself. And unless anybody else has anything to add, I wanted to see if, Desiree, you would repeat what you said at the beginning. You don't have to repeat it verbatim. But you said something to the effect about how when light shines on something.
Oh, all that that shines a light casts a shadow.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's such a beautiful way to start to welcome and to embody our shadow side. Is that everything that is cast a light is cast a shadow as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you for tuning in. We'll be with you again, Love in the 21st Century, next Tuesday, talking about self-love while we continue on our five-week jaunt here. And you can find us on the KZFR.org website if you want to listen to the show after hours. And up next is Ecotopia, so stay tuned. Full hour of learning about environment. Thanks for tuning in.
People you love will turn their backs on you. You'll lose your hair, your teeth. Your knife will fall out of its sheath, but you still don't like to leave before the end of the movie. People you hate will get their hooks into you. They'll pull you down, you'll frown. They'll tar you and drag you through town. But you still don't like to leave before the end of the movie. No, you still don't like to leave before the end of the show.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, and we'll be talking about local environmental issues.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. And they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Seem to go
that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a fire.